Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Pam. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
Today's show is brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At four locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
We have the pleasure of being joined in studio today by Mrs. Androscoggin County 2025, Samantha Potvin. How are you?
Hey, doing great this morning. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Seems like a morning person.
I know.
Yeah, I get up early.
Do you?
I'm a morning person.
We're going to talk to Sam all about the Mrs. Androscoggin County pageant, which is coming up in October.
Yeah, right? So I'm very lucky that I was blessed with this title for the second time for the United States of America's pageant. So I compete in October for the title of Mrs. Maine for 2026.
Gotcha.
So exciting.
Oh, have I got a little tidbit for you coming up once we start the interview.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Before we get to all that, let's take a look at some headlines for Friday, August 22nd.
The Lisbon School Committee voted to cut $121,000 from the proposed school budget. Items cut include adult education and an athletic trainer position. A public hearing on the new budget is scheduled for September 2nd. A third vote will be held on October 7th.
The Maine Department of Transportation reports that the Lewiston-Auburn to Portland bus service, also known as LAP, has welcomed over 23,000 riders in its first year of service. Fares were recently reduced to $5 one way, and riders can track the bus with the TripShot app and sign up for text alerts about delays and cancellations.
I used that for the first time last week.
How was it?
It was clean and quiet. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great service to have
definitely
a ride to Portland for $5.
Yeah,
I mean,
sign me up.
Yeah. The New Balance Foundation donated $1.4 million to 14 Maine nonprofits, including Good Shepherd Food Bank. The timing is significant, with many nonprofits already seeing the effects of federal funding cuts. Since 2008, New Balance has granted more than $15 million to local nonprofits across central Maine and the Norway area.
And the Oasis of Music opens its seventh season on September 3rd with local legend Denny Bro. The performances take place every Wednesday afternoon at 12:30 from September through May. Admission is free and donations are accepted. All right, Pam, it's time for the weather.
The weather.
Weather's kind of the best today, so we're going to go with Alex.
Okay.
Weather, weather, weather. Weather, 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 weather. Weather, weather is the best. Is the best weather, weather, weather.
Sam has had the privilege of meeting Alex. So
oh, cool.
It's always fun looking at their faces when they actually know him. He's so proud of that song.
He should be.
We have blue skies and sunshine today with a high of 81 and a low of 50. That really is the best.
It sure is.
Sunny tomorrow with a high of 80 and a low of 56. Cloudy on Sunday with highs in the 70s.
Now it's time for sports.
Patriots, Bruins, Red Sox, and Celtics are the best New England professionals.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's the Alex show today.
He asked me, he's like, have they been playing my sports song? I'm like, I don't know. I haven't been caught up on my podcast.
Yeah. Well, I just put it in yesterday.
Okay. So.
Thank goodness I remembered. Otherwise, Alex,
he'd be checking in on you.
He'd have been upset with me. In sports, Red Sox rookie Roman Anthony homered and drove in three runs, and the bullpen was lights out for over four innings as the Sox beat the stinking Yankees 6-3. They'll play again tonight at 7 in New York. Brian Baio gets the start for Boston.
You're a New England Boston fan all the way around in your household? Okay,
I thought so.
The Maine Nordiques are staying in the Twin Cities, just crossing the bridge from Lewiston to Auburn. The team signed a lease with the city and will play its home games at Norway Savings Bank Arena. The Nords have been playing at the Colisée since 2019 and were unable to come to a new lease agreement with the Colisée's new management company. The Nords open their season in Philadelphia on September 12th with their first home game on the 19th.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is sweeping the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
Famous, it's the birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for August the 22nd, shall we?
Sure.
All right.
I like James Corden.
Well, we're going to start off with James Corden.
Great.
What do you like about him?
I love Carpool Karaoke.
Yeah,
who does not
like
love that? Sure. So fun. I would literally just watch those episodes over and over.
Yeah. Did you have any favorites?
There were a couple. Mariah Carey was good. Pink. Gwen Stefani was a fun one. Mm-hmm. Paul McCartney, I think, was one of the last ones he did. And they actually went to the house he grew up in and went inside the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
James Corden is 47 years old today. He was the host of The Late Late Show, which ran from 2015 to 2023. Comedian Kristen Wiig, 52 years old today.
Another good one.
That's right. She played the lead in Bridesmaids.
Best movie.
Right?
So funny.
And she's also a Saturday Night Live alum. And did some voice work for the Despicable Me series, which I'm a huge fan.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Yeah. I know, well, going back to James Corden, he was one of the voices in Trolls.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Yep.
That's a good cast.
Kristen was also in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that's right.
In 2016. Yep. And a whole lot more.
She's a treasure, as
yep.
Sarah would say.
That's right. Singer Tori Amos, 62 years old today, a classically trained musician mm-hmm. who won a full scholarship to the Peabody Institute at the Johns Hopkins University at the age of 5.
5?
She was the youngest person ever to have been admitted, and she had to leave at the age of 11 when her scholarship was discontinued for what Rolling Stone described as musical insubordination.
What does that even mean? Did they make that up?
I don't know, but it makes me like her even more.
What a rebel.
So she was born talented.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was listed on VH1's 100 Greatest Women of Rock and Roll at number 71, and that came out in 1999. Oh. So she probably climbed a few spots between now
yeah.
and then. Singer Roland Orzabal from Tears for Fears, 64 years old today. I wrote a joke about Tears for Fears on Facebook once, and Michael Krapovicki was not impressed.
Oh.
Mike's a big Tears for Fears guy. And
you found out the hard way.
I did. Mike, it's a joke. Come on now. And rounding out FPBs for August 22nd is TV writer and producer David Chase.
What did he write?
You know.
The Sopranos.
That's right.
He's 80?
80 years old today. And The Sopranos ran between 1999 and 2007. Those are your FPBs. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
That was great. Was that you?
Yes. I'm the only one that has not recorded a song, and I am okay with that.
Yeah, we're waiting.
Nope.
Come on, Pam.
Yeah. She hasn't found the right one yet.
No one wants that.
When she does, game on.
Excellent.
All right. How about 13 years ago in 2012? Really? That was 13 years ago. LL Cool J caught a burglar in his home shortly before 2 a.m. and restrained the guy until the police could get there. He must have went through that course to restrain the students in school the right way.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
And also how to de-escalate a situation,
yes,
too.
Yes, there you go. Right.
He's LL Cool J.
Yeah.
He could probably
100%
knock it.
Right. Yeah. Mama said knock you out.
I'm going to censor myself.
Cut that.
Yeah, I'll cut that.
Also, we have 18 years ago in 2007, the Texas Rangers beat the Baltimore Orioles 30-3. Whew. That was the most runs scored by any team in modern Major League Baseball history. That has not been beat, has it?
No.
Whew.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one.
That's a solid trouncing.
It sure is.
And keeping with the theme of baseball, 36 years ago in 1989, Nolan Ryan of the Texas Rangers became the first pitcher of Major League Baseball history to throw 5,000 career strikeouts. Whew, that's a lot.
Wow.
He'd go on to rack up a total of 5,714 strikeouts, over 1,500 more than his closest competition.
I think that's another record that's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Right there. No one's going to catch Nolan.
61 years ago in 1964, the Supremes hit number one with their R&B classic, Where Did Our Love Go?
Baby, baby.
Oh, where did I?
See?
Yeah,
that one. Now we're going to get sued.
123 years ago in 1902, Theodore Roosevelt became the first U.S. president to ride in an automobile at a public appearance.
Well, go Theo.
Finally, 160 years ago in 1865, genius William Shepard of New York City patented liquid soap. What would we do without William?
Right?
Thanks, William.
Doing dishes has never been the same.
Yeah, what did they do for dishes before liquid soap?
I don't know. They probably just dunked them in the river, called it good.
Put a little sand on it for scrubbing.
Yeah. Those are your FPBs and OTDs for August the 22nd.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, the reigning Mrs. Androscoggin County, Samantha Potvin. We're going to call her Sam for the duration because that's how she introduced herself to me.
It's easy.
Yeah, it's easy. Sam, how did you get into pageant life?
So I didn't get into pageantry until probably a couple years ago, I think. So I was probably 34 at the time. I had always been interested in pageants as a little girl because I loved all things glamour and glitz and sparkly, but I never did anything that cool as a kid. But as an adult, I was like, oh, I can do cool things. So I had kind of, in 2023, I kind of started this like health and weight loss journey. So I was starting to gain a little bit more confidence in my life. And a friend of mine was the current Miss Maine at the time, and she was advertising that they had needed some more Mrs. contestants. And I was like, I'll click on it. I'll take a look. I'll see what's going on. Didn't think I'd actually apply for it, but I was like, yeah, heck, life is short. So I did. I applied for it, and I reached I heard from the director. She reached out to me, told me what it was about, and I didn't think that I was like the picture-perfect pageant person. Like, I thought these pageant people had to be, like, college-educated and have these really prestigious jobs and already be, these amazing volunteers, and I was none of those things at the time. So I was really surprised when she's like, no, it's all about who you are, and you bring what you are to the table, and this is what pageantry is about, and you want to showcase your life and be the best you that you can be. And I'm like, okay, sold. So I signed up for it. It was such an amazing and life-changing year. I really enjoyed everything I did. It was really more than just a sash and pretty dresses. It was getting out into the community, having this group of women. The United States of America's pageant logo is Empower, Inspire, and Uplift. And that is exactly what we all did as contestants in our community and with each other. So I loved it. It was such a blast. And so my love for pageantry grew right then.
A lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that people don't realize.
Yeah.
And I say that because I mentioned something at the beginning of the show that I had a little experience.
What?
I was a judge for Mrs. Maine in, I think it was either 2017 or 2018, along with John Jenkins and Heidi from Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. No way.
Yes. It was the three of us. I endeared myself to the audience because as they were reading my bio, I actually walked back and forth in front of the stage. I didn't get on the stage. So that's not my place. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And I don't know if you're familiar with John Jenkins, but he was an amazing individual. He's not with us anymore, but he was an amazing individual. And I always wanted to meet him, and I got to meet him as a judge. As a fellow judge the Mrs. Maine competition.
Oh, that is so cool.
And that's why I say there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, because we showed up, I think, 2 days before the competition, and we had to question these ladies. Like, we had a binder.
Yeah.
With full of questions and information and all that. And I know for contestants, there's a lot more that goes into it than that as far as preparation goes. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there's a lot of preparation, and a lot of that preparation is very much so mental preparation. You have to really fall in love with yourself, which can be very hard. And for me, I'm the type of person, believe it or not, I really don't like attention, and I don't like to ever like brag about myself. For me, that was very challenging. But I quickly learned that I needed to fall in love with every aspect of myself and grow some confidence to show that to the judges as to why I should be crowned Mrs. Maine. So a lot of the mental prep work has really been loving yourself, which is pretty cool. So then you have to practice interview questions, and you have to know what to say, when to say, like, don't stumble your words too bad.
You mean like how I did reading the news this morning?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you did a great great job.
I was better than I was on Monday. We'll start there.
Yeah. So there's that aspect of it, but then there's also the community aspect, which is actually my favorite part. Like, I love getting out to the community, and having the excuse of being a title holder gave me that excuse to go out and partner with different people, different events, and raise awareness to things that were near and dear to my heart. So that's been my favorite part of prep, is doing that.
What are some of those aspects that are near and dear to your heart?
So you have to have a platform when you do pageants. And so for me, I chose to do in the past. So when 2023, I chose to represent veterans, which was so great. I did some great events. This is the past, but I'll showcase now just because I was so proud of it. But I ended up creating my own event at the Norway Savings Bank Arena. I got in touch with Mark Gosling and I was like, hey, do you mind if I throw this charity event here? Like, never done this before in my life, but I'm going to try, see what happens. Yeah. And so I threw in a ice skating event where people came in, they donated money, they got to ice skate, but all that money went towards Veterans Inc. And Veterans Inc. is right here local in Lewiston, and they help homeless veterans transition into stable housing. So we raised, I think, I want to say like over $300, and I was so proud of that because that's the first time I ever put on events. Yeah. Like, I know you're used to putting on like these major events.
Well.
Like, so I was so excited. So fast forward to 2025 pageant, Sam, I was like, okay, what's something that I'm very passionate about? And I'm very passionate about self-care and mental well-being. So I started this platform called Unshakable Glow, where I give tips to people and talk with people about things that they can do for self-care and making sure that they're putting themselves first, because a lot of people think of self-care as selfish or spending hours at a salon with hundreds of dollars, and that's really not it at all. It's just really making sure that you're putting yourself first and you're taking time for yourself. And I got this idea because my 12-year-old really struggled last winter with his mental health, and I don't think I noticed it until he came to me and he's like, Mom, he's like, I'm not doing okay. He wasn't feeling like he fit in with hockey, with school, with home life. He was telling me how like worthless he felt and how he didn't feel good about himself. And I'm like, all right, bud, let's do something about this. So that was kind of the start of my coaching other people on how to build confidence and continue with their self-care. So he's been doing great. We got into running. We've been doing the Triple Crown 5K, which is so much fun. So it was great to like watch somebody transition from, you know, having this lack of confidence to all of a sudden growing this confidence. He hit the ice last week for hockey for the first time, and I could just see he was so
just
much happier
language.
And happy. Yeah. So I'm very passionate about that. But then I reach out to other people too. Like, I reached out to United Way. I reached out to Salvation Army. And I've just been doing what I can, when I can, when I have free time.
That's awesome.
We mentioned a pageant coming up in October.
Yes.
Right, that you are currently preparing for.
Yes.
It's the big one, that's Mrs. Maine.
That's for the Mrs. Maine, okay. Yes. So all the local title holders are coming together that weekend, and Sunday, October 13th, we will be hitting the stage and competing for the title of, we have Mrs. Maine, and then we also have like a Ms., Miss., and a Team Maine that are also competing.
Take us behind the curtain a little bit, Sam. Give us an idea of what the preparation is like for this event.
So this is actually probably my favorite part, because I'm used to spending hotel weekends with smelly hockey boys with my kids. So we are spending the whole weekend together at the Senator Inn. We arrive Friday night. We have a PJ party. We just have fun that night. We relax, talk about what we're going to be doing for the weekend, have some snacks. And then we get right to work the next day. So interviews start at like 8 a.m. And that is just hours. I feel like it's hours. Just sitting in a hallway, waiting for your name to be called, waiting to go meet these three strangers, and you have no idea who they are. And they're going to ask you all these questions about yourself. And I think that's the most anxiety I ever felt in my whole life, was just sitting in that hallway like, how am I going to talk about myself? This is ridiculous. But it was fun. It was so much fun. So we do the interviews, and then we spend the whole day rehearsing. We go over to the Civic Center. This pageant has been growing bigger and bigger every year. So we're finally in the spot where we have to use like the Augusta Civic Center, like the
That's
big
awesome.
Space. So our stage will be set up there. We'll be doing our dress rehearsal Saturday night, and then Sunday morning it's rise up early, get your hair and makeup done, get your clothes together, get over there, do one more run through, and then it's pageant time.
Do you know what questions you're going to be asked, or it's just random?
No idea.
You just know they're going to ask questions about you.
Yeah, so we
That's where the anxiety comes from, right? Yeah, I'd be like,
Like, I don't know. Like, we have to write a judge's bio, which I'm sure you've seen before. Like, we just write things about ourselves, and they pick from that to ask you questions.
Okay.
I had one judge ask me what my favorite Netflix show was to binge, and I froze. I'm like, I don't have time to watch Netflix. I don't know. And I'm just like, and I was like, Grey's Anatomy. I don't know. That's the last thing I watched. And then I had another woman who was actually from England, and I had written on there that I was a huge fan of the royal family. We literally spent our whole interview just talking about Kate Middleton and Prince William. So, I mean, it was great. It was just like chatting with a friend.
Yeah, perfect.
What categories are you judged in?
So the biggest category is the interview, of course. So that is 30% of your judging right there. So that's a big part of it. So that's where all the pressure comes in. And then 25% is during the pageant when you're on stage, you have fitness or swimwear. And they're not judging you on your fitness level or how great you look in a bathing suit. What they're judging you on is your confidence and how you shine in your bathing suit that you choose. And that's 25%. And then another 25% is your evening gown. And again, it's not what you're wearing, but how you present yourself in it and how you bring your confidence on stage. And then new this year is called the ambassador impact. So actually 20% of our judging is based on our social media page. So I have a social media page, Mrs. Androscoggin County. And that's another hard thing for me because sometimes I struggle with like, I don't like being like, hey, look at me. So I've been using that to kind of spotlight different things that I've been doing throughout the year. That's what's so great about pageantry is it has this hook on you of wanting to just continually grow and be an advocate in your community. And I couldn't resist. So it's worth it to me to throw myself up on that stage and conquer my fears and grow from it. And it's really helped me grow. And I really love that about pageantry. Actually, one of the things about pageantry is even during the whole interview process, I was able to advocate for my dream job. And I had reached out. I work at Maine Plastic Surgery. I reached out onto them on Instagram. And I'm like, hey, I know you're not hiring right now, but I just want to say I'm looking for a job. I graduate nursing school in December. Didn't know if you had any openings, and I was speaking with them. They actually called me in for an interview, and I have no idea what I was interviewing for, but I'm like, yep, I'll come.
I'll be there.
I'll talk to you. And I talked to these three managers for a good half hour, and again, I had to kind of showcase my best aspects to them to kind of make them want me, which is what you do in pageantry. You make the judges want to pick you. So it was great. I had so much fun. Still had no idea what my job title was going to be, but they called me 2 days later and said, hey, we finished all of our interviews and we really liked you and we'd like to pick you. And so they actually hired me as their nurse before I graduated nursing school, and they're training me for that now, which I thought was
so cool.
Pretty incredible. Yeah. So I have to really thank pageantry for that.
Yeah, it's a lot more. I mean, I'm sure you found other ways that it's helped you in your personal life that you weren't even expecting.
Exactly. And so the funny thing is, being in nursing school, your whole life is nursing school. So when I signed back up for this pageant, a lot of people were like, you're ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? You have so much on your plate. You have four kids, a husband, a full-time job, and now you're doing this on top of school full-time? I'm like, absolutely. Because when I do pageants, it makes me want to be my best self and put my best foot forward and grow and meet my goals. Mm. So that has really helped me focus on, you know, school too, because I want to do the best that I can. And I want to graduate in December, and I want to have the title of Mrs. Maine. And I want to say, look, you can do these things.
How do you find all the time?
I don't know. I really don't know. could not do it without my husband. He really, you know, takes a lot over when I'm in school, and he makes sure that the kids get where they need to go. Thank God. I mean, he's the cook in the house anyways, but he makes sure everybody's fed, and he's doing all the running around, so I'm really lucky that I have that.
I was looking at your Facebook page this morning, and I saw a video that you posted recently, about 2 weeks ago, about breaking the stigma of plastic surgery.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's another thing that I've been doing is while working at Maine Plastic Surgery, I think I got a lot of feedback from certain people that were like, oh, that's such a shallow job. Why would you want to do that? Just people that don't like themselves. And I was like, actually, it's the total opposite. Like, people that come into my office are amazing. Like, people come in for surgery. You know, we have a lot of weight loss patients that have lost a lot of weight and they want to get rid of that excess skin. I had a lovely patient who was in for a rhinoplasty, and I'll never forget going out to the waiting room to get her mom, and her mom's just sobbing. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, she did great. She's like, this is something my daughter's wanted for years, and this is going to help her with the confidence she needs. And I'm like, exactly. Like, this is great. So I did. I actually had signed up for a surgery at my office, a mommy makeover, and they asked me, they're like, hey, would you be interested in, like, doing some social media for this and kind of helping break the stigma of plastic surgery and showcasing what we do? And I'm like, absolutely. So I did, again, one of those things where it's like, okay, I'll put myself out there. But that's one of the things I love about my job is I get to see different people feel empowered every day. And that's a great thing.
Where did that come from, Sam? That willingness to put yourself out there and try new experiences?
I think I run on fear and adrenaline, honestly. there's so many things that I wish I could, like, say or do. Like, I never felt like I was really, like, a strong personality to be able to put myself out there and really say the things I want to say or advocate for things I want to advocate for. I've just been doing it more and more, and the more I do it, the better it is. Like, so by me doing that and putting that video out there, I received a lot of messages from a lot of people I didn't expect that said this is something they've been wanting to do, but they've been nervous about it, or they never really thought that they could do it. And it was really great to hear that from people that, wow, I really am making a little bit of a difference. And if I can, you know, help somebody with my story make a difference in their life, then to me, that's totally worth it.
How do you deal with nerves?
So when I do have those nerves, I'm one of those people, I'm like, fake it until you make it. Like, you just have to put on your strong suit and smile. And then I always picture what I want to happen. Like, I'm a big manifesting person. I'm like, I am going to manifest, like, the most positive thing. So if I manifest myself walking down that stage, not tripping, not falling on my face, then I feel like I'm going to be okay. Yeah. So it's just, again, like a big mental thing.
Yeah. As a judge at that pageant, we were seated in the front row, and it was obvious that the contestants who were nervous and the contestants who were in their own head going, don't trip, don't trip. Yeah. I mean, it was plain to see. And, you know, the ones who made it difficult for us were the ones who went out there and just owned the stage. Mm-hmm. They were completely confident. They were like, this is my moment. I'm making the most of it. It makes an incredible difference when you go up there with all the confidence in the world.
Yeah.
Amazing what mindset can do, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you could provide advice to some people who have, maybe they're doing their first pageant, maybe they're experienced, but they're looking to get better, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to remember that this is not a competition with your peers that you're essentially competing with, but this is really a competition with yourself. So you really you have to have your blinders on. You cannot look at what other people are doing. You have to remember that you're amazing being the person that you are, and just be your best self and do not compare yourself to others. Your only competition is with yourself. So as long as you can improve yourself and know that you went out there and did your best job, like, that's what matters, because essentially you're going to win if you can be your best self, you know, crown or not.
That's super interesting to me, because I never would have thought of that mindset. That's what I do when I go out and run the Triple Crowns or, you know, the races, is like, I'm not competing with everybody else because I know I ain't winning. So it's fine. But I'm competing with myself. I want to do better than I did before, or, you know, whatever my goal is personally that day, because it's different every race. But I never would expect kind of that state of mind for pageantry. So that's super interesting. I guess it makes sense, you know? I mean, that's all you can really do is compete with yourself. And once you start comparing yourself and looking at others, then you're going to get in your own head. And
oh, absolutely. And that takes a lot of work to figure out, but I figured it out this year. And it's so cool too, because, you know, you network with these girls and you become friends. Like, there's no animosity or anything. Like, I placed first runner up my very first pageant. And I just remember being so excited for Katie. She had won the title of Mrs. Maine. It was her and I standing there. We're holding hands. I'm shaking. And I think deep down I knew. I was like, you know what? This girl is, like, full of confidence. And she's, like, amazing. Like, Katie's amazing. Right. And I think I knew. I was like, it should be Katie. It's totally got to be Katie. And they did. They called me for first runner-up, and I just remember being so excited for Katie. And I remember looking out. Katie's family's jumping up and down. They're so excited. And then I pan over, and I look at my kids, and they're just sitting there like they're going to cry. And I'm like, like, I remember talking to them afterwards, and I'm like, it's okay. Like, I didn't win the crown of the state title, but I won in so many other areas that this is okay. And then, which helps, because later on my son lost in states. They essentially got first runner-up in their states for their hockey team. So it was a learning lesson.
Yeah.
You don't always win, but you're still winning in something, which is pretty cool. And these, like, the girls that we're competing with this year all together, like, we have a group chat. We talk every day. Like, we've all become such great friends that no matter who wins, like, we're going to be so excited.
Yeah, you're all rooting for each other in a way. Yeah.
Which
is
nice.
Love that. So I'm reading through areas of final competition and stuff, and how you were talking about how much percentage things are worth and whatnot. This one kind of freaks me out. The onstage question. Not plural. One.
Just one.
Man. I know I would be like, I want that question. Or I would always be like, why did... Yeah, I don't know. I could see myself just getting a question that I'd be like, no, why that one? You only have one question.
Just one. Don't mess it up. Everybody's staring at you. I mean, it is a lot of pressure.
So much pressure.
Like, so much pressure. So the people that make it to the finals are the ones that get this part of the competition. And I made it to the finals my first year. They throw you all out back. You cannot hear anybody else's question. It's very top secret. So you don't know when you're going, what you're being asked. You just walk out onto the stage. The whole audience is staring at you. The judges are staring at you. And I'm like, I felt like Ricky Bobby. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. Like, I was standing there. I'm like, what are we doing? And I had no idea what they were going to ask me. Like, thank God they asked me a question about, I can't even remember now, but like, what makes a good marriage or whatever. And I just remember like eyeing in on my husband, Eric, and I'm like, okay, this is easy. I can do this.
Yeah.
I just spoke from my heart and I let it be.
Yeah.
And I walked off the stage and I was like, phew.
Well, that's the thing though, right? Is you hope it's something like that you're confident and you 100% already know how to answer.
Yeah.
It would be something that would be, you know, I don't know. You could go so many different directions in that I just be like, I don't know which way to go.
I know. I always falter too, like from Miss Congeniality. I'm like, worst case scenario, I just say world peace. hope it goes good from there.
Would you like to practice?
Practice my onstage question?
Yeah.
She already started sweating.
I just did a Google search.
Oh, goodness. And you're like an official judge. This is like real.
How do you handle defeat?
You learn from it. Everybody in life gets defeated at some point. And if you don't learn from it, you're going to drown in sorrow from it. So when you get defeated over something, you honestly have to figure out what your lesson is from that, make a game plan, a goal. How do we pick ourselves up from this? And you go. You go running and you fix that problem. Is that like okay-ish? Okay.
Oh, the crowd loved it.
Oh, thank goodness. Look at that.
Nice. Very good.
Sounds like a 10.
Oh, this is one that I think I would have a hard time with.
Oh, goodness. Thank you, Pam.
What is your most embarrassing moment?
Oh, well, there are so many. Luckily, I have so many to choose from. I will say I am currently being haunted by one every day February.
Making you relive it?
No, relive it in my own
head. Oh.
So... In February, I started my new job. I was learning how to scrub into surgery, which I had never done before. And our plastic surgeon is this great Harvard-trained plastic surgeon, double board certified, really great at his job. And then there's me. And he comes in and we help him get dressed for his surgery cases. Twice in a row, I put this man's left glove on his right hand. And I just will never forget looking up and being like, oh my gosh. Like, he's like, this is going to be our new nurse. No, he was great. He's like, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Not a big deal. But I did it again. So, yeah. And then to do it again the next day, I'm like, this is bad. I brought gloves home and I practiced. Like, I'm not joking. And the worst part is they're labeled left and right. And I'm like, how do you muck that up? But again, something you learn and grow from. And now I'm a great glove putter on her.
Great job.
Yeah.
If it makes you feel any better, Sam, at my wedding, when it was time to put the ring on, I put my wife's ring on the wrong finger.
No, okay, that does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more pressure.
Everybody noticed.
More eyes
on
you.
I had to address it.
Oh, no.
And I just turned to them and said, it's my first time.
Right, well, there you go.
Yeah. Sam, what are the best and worst things about pageantry?
I'll start with the worst. I always start with the worst and like to end on a positive note. I think the worst thing is that you can get stuck in your own head and you can find yourself comparing yourself to others and thinking you need to have the perfect body, the perfect wardrobe. So that can be hard. You have to learn from that. You have to learn how not to do that. I'm going to go with the good stuff now because honestly, that's the worst thing I can think of. Oh, maybe the pageant hangover, because the next day you literally feel like you have a hangover because you're on heels for an entire weekend. You're on the go all the time and you're just constantly like your brain doesn't stop at all. So then when your adrenaline's done, you're like, holy moly. So that's probably the other worst part is the day after the pageant. But all the positives of the pageant is you end up gaining a great group of friends that stick with you for life. Honestly, I still reach out to the girls I competed with 2 years ago. You get to become your best self and you get to wear really pretty dresses, which is honestly like my favorite part.
It's the best, right?
Yeah.
Where do you go shopping for them?
So the first time I went to, there's this store in Peabody, Mass called The Ultimate, and it is rows and rows and rows of gowns. And it is so much fun to try on. This year, I just didn't have time to go shopping and I had my surgery and I was like, I'm not going to have time. So I was lazy and I ordered it online.
So. Good old online shopping.
Oh, yes.
You've been to some of the local events recently.
Yeah, we went to the Balloon Festival. I love the Balloon Festival. I think it's so much fun. We're so lucky that we have that here in our
That's the same thing I was thinking that night when I went to. I'm like, we are so lucky to have this.
Oh, so, and did you know somebody was telling me that this is the only place in the whole U.S. where you can actually go up and like touch the hot air balloons while they're blowing them up? I guess other places they blow them up like way in a field, like far away. Yeah, so I thought that was
very cool.
When you go to these events, do you wear your sash?
And I do. And again, like this, like for the Triple Crown, I actually ran with my sash on for the first couple. Actually, I forgot it for the second race. But for the first race, I ran with it on. I was like, oh, I don't want to like, I don't want people to think I'm like being like a pick me, like, ooh, look at me. But it was actually really cool. The people that are cheering you on at the mile markers were like, yeah, this is Andrew Scott in County. I was like, yeah, hey. So it's fun.
That's great.
That is cool. She was also at Wishes in the Valley.
Oh my gosh, that was a big event. So great. I know. I told Eric when we got in the car, I was like, listen, when I win Mrs. Maine, I'm helping Pam with whatever she needs with this because that was such an incredible
event. I will take you up on that
offer. Absolutely. That was so cool.
It was a good event. But yes, I know all about the hangover.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Do you know how many contestants there are going to be for Mrs. Maine?
There are currently 8 of us right now.
All right.
And they have until September. I think September 3rd is like the cutoff date. So anybody can join up until that point.
What criteria do you have to meet to...
Honestly,
enter the pageant.
The only criteria I know that you can't, so this is funny, you cannot be like an adult film star if you want to be in this pageant.
Okay.
So that was honestly to me, I laughed because there really is no criteria. They really want people from all walks of life. So the more unique, the better.
You got to be married.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yes, right?
there is. Sorry, I was just thinking, I just thought it was so funny when I remember reading that and being like, you cannot have made an adult film. I was like, great, I'm doing great. So,
check.
Awesome. But yes, you must be a legal citizen of the U.S., you must be 18 plus, and you must be legally married. Those are the only criteria.
All right. So. And no adult films.
And no adult films.
Right, that too. Sam, I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about Unshakable Glow. I'm on the Facebook page right now, and you do a fantastic job with this.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I've had fun with that. So I figured the best way for me to reach out to people is through social media because, I mean, I do, like, on the job, at school, at, you know, in my home life, but I wanted to really reach out to people, then people that I didn't know. So I was like, you know what? Let's try this. I invented this Facebook group called Unshakable Glow where I can share my ideas for self-care to hope to impact other people that might not think of these ideas of self-care. And I just thought, and I don't always put like, sometimes I put like when things aren't great, I'll put things on there. Like I know I made a post a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't doing too great. And I was like, it's okay to have your bad days. And, you know, what matters is how you pick yourself up after that and care for yourself. But I wanted to share the different ideas that I had for self-care. And I wanted to help people build confidence just because, you know, I was in a really dark, depressive state a few years ago and I pulled my way out of that. And I'm hoping that I can help other people do that too.
It's very important.
Look up Unshakable Glow on Facebook. Is there anything else about yourself or the pageant that you would like our listeners to know before we move on to our final segment?
Yeah, just that if you have a dream, just go do it. Like I've been told so many times, I was a teen mom. So for me, going to college, I never thought was in the books. But in my 30s, I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. So if you have a dream, go and do it. Like, I signed up for nursing school. I worked really hard to get into the program. Then the program was even harder than that. So it's been a lot of work, but I'm doing it and I'm so proud. And then to just do the things that make you happy. The pageant made me happy and I wanted to have that in my life and show my kids too, like, hey, you can do the things that make you happy and you can make your dreams come true. You just have to work at it.
Yeah. Doesn't just fall in your lap.
No, absolutely not. You have to put in the effort, but it's worth it.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
So Sam, we like to close out the show with a segment called Three Random Questions, where we ask you questions that have nothing to do with anything we've talked about so far.
Excellent.
We just want to get to know you a little bit more.
Okay.
This is one of my favorites. So you and a friend go to a casino. You run out of money. Your friend gives you $50 to gamble with. You end up winning $100,000. Do you share any of it with your friend?
Yeah, you know what we're going to do with that? We're going to take it and we're going to go to Disney and we're going to spend the crap out of it.
We're going to take a vacation. $100,000 vacation.
Yes, we are.
Just the two of you or
we love our kids, but that sounds like too much fun for adults.
All right. So $100,000 trip to Disney, just two ladies having the time of
Have you seen the prices in Disney? Absolutely. Like, that'll go so fast.
Right. Yeah. It'd be easy to spend that. Okay, let's see. I had one. Let's do this one. What movie or book changed how you see the world?
This is really good. I love movies and I love books. And I'm trying to think. I like more of like the happy-go-lucky movie, so probably not a movie that was most changing, but a book, I would say I read this book a couple years ago called Atomic Habits, and that was actually pretty life-changing. Can't remember the author. I feel terrible. But
yeah, I've read it also. But yeah.
But yeah, I think that helped too with my mental health and how I do things. I'll never forget reading this one part in the book where it's like, you have time for things. You might not think you do, but you do. And he was saying how, you know, grab a Lysol wipe while your shower's running and just wipe your toilet and bathroom sink down. And there you go. You've got a clean bathroom. And I'm like, wait, that's such a good point. Mm-hmm. Like, I always think I don't have time for things, but I do. You just have to make the time and small things like that.
Yes.
I think the author's name was James Clear.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right? Yes. That sounds right.
Yeah. Atomic Habits by James Clear. All right, Sam, final question. If there was a movie made about your life, what would be the one scene that people would talk about on the way home?
Oh, goodness. I gotta pick and choose what I might say here. I would say when I was a single mom, I don't know how I made it. I had three boys. I moved to a town I knew nobody in, and it was just us. And I'm like, we somehow made it work. And I think if that were a movie, it would be very inspiring for others to see how we made it work. I didn't make much money. I would have to walk to the laundry mat with my kids. We would do laundry. We struggled, but we made it work. And I feel like I gave them a pretty good childhood as a single mom, but I think that would be inspiring to other people.
Good stuff. You did it.
Did I do okay?
You did great. This is your first podcast?
First podcast ever.
All right. We made history.
We did. Today.
Sam, best of luck in the pageant. That is on October 13th.
You got it.
October 13th, Sam is competing for Mrs. Maine. We can buy tickets for that, right?
People, they actually go on sale today.
All right.
So tickets are live now. It's at the Augusta Civic Center.
All right.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption for sponsoring today's episode. And if you'd like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.